Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Your next chance to win $1,000. Be listening for that keyword in the National Cash Contest. And remember, 72881, the text number for that National Cash Contest. 7:30, 8:30, 9:30 on our show, but throughout the day here on 610 Sports Radio. And remember, 72881. I want to give you that keyword at 8:30. You're not ready to heap praise on Scott Drew and the Baylor Bears?
Not really. I mean, nice game on Monday night.
It's not Bill Self and KU.
No, it has nothing to do that. It has to do not necessarily with them, with what they accomplished in beating Gonzaga. Like, Gonzaga, to me, that now goes down, in my opinion, as the worst season maybe in sports history. I mean, you go undefeated all year and losing the title game. You go undefeated all year. You lose one game. It's the national. Your season sucked, man.
Well,
I hate to say it.
Sweaty rec center and come witness some real losing. It's the worst gut punch
yeah, that you can have.
I mean, it's like the Mariners winning 116 and losing. It's like the Patriots going 17-0 and losing the Super Bowl.
It's really hard to justify. Well, we had a really good season, you know.
You didn't.
It's like scoring 9 points in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, exactly. Stuff like that. But like this Gonzaga.
A lot of it, though, I think the Chiefs Super Bowl is kind of similar type thing. I mean, enjoyed the ride and enjoyed the build up and whatever. And the end was so bad that you're kind of like, God, what was this all for?
But yeah,
there's a little bit of that too.
But with the Chiefs, like the comeback next year, like Gonzaga, it's like college basketball just ends. You know, there's like no returning.
And especially now in college basketball, it's very difficult to predict any kind of return because you have so many people leaving and graduating and transfer portals.
Terrible ending.
What have you? It's hard to think about. Well, there's always next year because there might not be.
Like if you're Gonzaga, how are you satisfied with that? Like, and maybe in 10 years from now, Mark Few, who looks like, by the way, like he smokes a pack a day. Like he looks like the guy at the corner of the bar just drinking Bud Light.
You said that to me a couple weeks ago, and I'm like, really? No. And then the more I thought about it, like, yeah, Mark Few does look like the guy that, like, we can't find coach, and he's out burning the heater behind the gym.
He's out smoking a dart.
I'm with you. I don't know what it is about it, but as soon as you told me that, I'm like, I get a little bit of that.
He's kind of the color of a cigarette.
He looks like Marty Funkhauser's little brother, too.
A little bit. But I just look at Mark Few. I'm like, that guy just put out a butt and finished a cold draft beer at the end of the bar, and he's here for the game, right?
Funk man.
That's kind of the way that he looks. Yeah.
Let's shoot free throws.
He stomps out the cigarette and he's ready to roll, right? Whatever, fine.
It's a good look.
But
it's a good visual I have for him.
So maybe in 10 years, I don't know, but maybe in 10 years over, you know, a nice Camel Light and a light beer, he can be proud of this past season. But in the moment, I mean, like, it's a disappointment. It sucks. Like, it's the worst ending to a season ever, you know, going undefeated like that. But Baylor, back to them. And it's not about, you know, Scott Drew or Bill Self or anything like that.
This
it's about
an entire webpage dedicated to if Mark Few smokes weed.
Are you kidding? I mean, just look at the guy. He looks like a smoker. What I feel. I like look at him. I'm like, that guy smokes half a pack a day, right? Like, and he's going with the Marlboro Reds, man. They're like the light cigarettes are for later in life.
All right, guys, go run some line drills. I'll be back in a minute.
Yeah, I'm going to go out back and burn one with the janitor in the boiler room. So I just like the whole like turnaround, the greatest turnaround in college basketball history, we're hearing, right, with Baylor. And we live in the moment. Everything is right in the moment, right now. It's the best ever. It's the greatest ever. It's the worst ever. It's the most unbelievable, right? We've always got to have these superlatives in the moment. And was it a good turnaround at Baylor? Yeah, but it took 12 years, right? Like, this wasn't something that he turned around yesterday. And in college basketball, you can turn it around in a day. Bob Huggins is prime example of that at Kansas State. When he came to Kansas State, that dude with the neck brace was there and things weren't going well. Bob Huggins came in and in 1 year had that K-State team back and into the NCAA tournament. That's a turnaround. That was a one-year turnaround in Manhattan, Kansas. We talk about great turnarounds in college sports. What Bill Snyder did is still, to me, the greatest turnaround in sports history, the way he turned K-State around, and not just K-State, not just football, the university, the town, the region, everything that he did in Manhattan, Kansas, and is still doing in Manhattan, Kansas, has been unbelievable. I just think at times we want to declare this is the greatest, the best ever. And in my opinion, it took you 12 years to get here. You did some good things, no question. You won that national championship. There's no doubt about it. But is it the greatest turnaround ever? I don't think so. I think, you know, what the Royals did, I think
this one is for, and it, yes, it does take a while, and you don't win national championships every year. And Kansas hasn't had one since 08.
You don't
win championships all the time. They don't happen all the time. But remember, this guy came and took the job. It was terrible. They didn't have non-conference that year. They were banned from non-conference player. Like, who the hell would go to that school?
Right.
Why are you doing this to now being a national championship? I think that's a pretty remarkable. I don't care how long it took. That's a pretty remarkable run. How many teams have had bans where they don't play non-conference games?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you took that job, you're like, man, what is he doing? These guys are going to get drilled when the conference play starts.
Sure.
And to now
and
being
for a while.
Like super deep. Waco's not a, you know, I mean, it's not,
say the, it. It's not a great place.
It's not the greatest destination in the world.
No.
There's plenty of other places that are the
Branch Davidian.
Yeah, the whole Branch Davidian thing ruined that town.
Better to recruit to and those types of things.
Like Dr. Pepper built that town up and the Branch Davidians tore that thing down in minutes.
Thanks, Koresh.
So, I mean, I think it is a pretty remarkable turnaround.
I think it's remarkable. Is it the greatest of all time?
I think it is in the mix with Snyder because he went on to win a title.
Yeah.
I think the only ones that you could put into that conversation, too, are college turnarounds. Like, to me, professional sports, like, while it's been proven you can't just go out there and drop buku bucks and win and buy a title, there is something to be said about going out and spending wise in free agency, and teams can go out and, I don't know, spend more money, be more competitive.
Which Baylor has done over the last 12 years.
Whether you want to be cynical about it or not, like, you don't get to do that at the collegiate level.
Oh.
I mean, unless it's in, like, a McDonald's bag.
Right.
But you have to sell the program. Like, there's a recruiting aspect of it. The roster is turning over every year. Like, you not only have to think about this year, but 4 years down the road. I mean, like, there's more of a process to it, at least in my estimation, at the collegiate level than it is at the professional level.
I mean, maybe I'm biased because it's our team, but what I still go back to what the Royals did of great turnarounds. Like, it took Bryce Drew's brother 12 years to win a championship at Baylor, right? 12 years. It took Dayton Moore 9 years to win
Bryce's
a championship.
Brother, son of Homer, Scott Drew.
it took Dayton Moore 9 years to win a championship in a sport that is so against small market teams even competing, and won a championship. And in college basketball, where Bob Huggins did flip it in 1 year and made K-State a winner in 1 year.
It's the difference between flipping it, though, and winning a title.
Yeah, sure. But, I think
I think the Royals one is underappreciated around baseball? For sure.
Underappreciated around sports in general. Like, that turnaround.
That team made the World Series twice. This franchise made the World Series twice in back-to-back years.
Yeah.
And won. I mean, yeah.
It's remarkable. Yes. It really is. Like, and I'm never going to stop talking about the remarkableness. Is that a word?
Sure.
of what they did and the way that they turned it around. And so the greatest turnaround in sports, if you want, maybe the best turnaround in college basketball. But for my money, I just think sometimes we get so isolated in the moment, we forget about other things. That even the Chiefs with Andy Reid and the way that they turned that thing around, you know?
Big story coming up and your chance to win $1,000. Your next opportunity, be listening for that keyword 72881 of the National Cash Contest next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
It's time to dash for the cash. This half hour is brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967, commercial free until 9 o'clock. Time to dash for the cash. Your code word this hour in the National Cash Contest is treasure. That's right. We got to spell a long one for this one. Treasure. T-R-E-A-S-U-R-E. Treasure to 72881. That's 72881. You could be the $1,000 winner of the National Cash Contest. Your next chance coming up at 9:30. For complete rules, go to 610sports.com. Message and data rates apply. Powered by BetQL. Let BetQL's proven data and analytics help you become a better bettor. Download the BetQL app today. Treasure to 72881. It is funny, though. Sometimes it's like cat and then like a
treasure.
Treasure.
That's right.
Treasure to 72881 for your chance
treasure,
to win $1,000.
That is what you are.
What? Big story.
Everyone, I'm sorry for the delay, but the big moment has finally come.
It's the big story.
This may be the biggest thing that's ever happened.
If it's what you're talking about, it's what we're talking about.
My God, are you still talking?
On Fesco in the Morning.
We're going to lead the Hudson Swafford hype train.
There you go. Pulling out of the station
right
now.
Hudson Swafford.
Actually, let me rephrase that. The yacht is leaving the dock
right now. That's true. He's not on a dinghy.
No.
His nickname is the Terrier. We have
that's right.
This.
The Swafford Terrier is leading the Masters. Two under par through seven.
Let's go! All right, Hudson!
One stroke lead over Matt Jones.
Matt Jones.
And then a group of guys that even... As the opening round of the Masters is underway, Sandy Lyle having the roughest of days so far, plus six through six.
Sandy Lyle, you say?
I do.
Is that Sparky's kid?
It is. Sandy Lyle, who's been around for a while.
Okay, keep going. Sandy Lyle has been around for a while.
All he can do is smile.
Uh-huh.
When his ship was coming in.
Feel like Country Mile was going to be in there somewhere.
Oh.
When Sandy Lyle, all he can do is smile when his ship was coming in.
Looks good
like
on
Chris
you.
And the Flying Wasp.
So get on the Hudson Swafford bandwagon, folks.
Hey, man, you could lead from start to finish.
He is
wire to wire.
Two under through seven atop the leaderboard at the Masters. Ian Poulter's just birdied.
Uh-oh.
He's a minus one along with Matt Jones.
I think it's pronounced poutine.
Poitier.
Ian Poitier.
Dustin Johnson.
Sidney Poitier's kid?
The defending champion who had the 20 under in November tries to back it up. He'll tee off around 9:30 today in the opening round. I was waiting for Bob to ask when is Tiger tee off.
No, I know Tiger doesn't tee off.
Okay, I was just making sure.
No, not happening.
I'm sure you knew that.
Yeah, for the
When does Phil Mickelson tee off?
They're underway. Yeah, Phil Mickelson, who showed up today. They had the
which, by the way, Phil, like, he must have had some.
Okay, so they do the honorary tee off, right? So it was Jack Nicklaus, Gary Player, Lee Elder that were doing the honorary tee off today, which is pretty
awesome.
Cool,
that's right? Pretty cool, yeah.
So they go out there and they knock their tees out there. They have some you know, other champions there, and everybody's there, whatever. Phil Mickelson's got shades on and looks. We both saw him.
Somebody had a couple of cocktails.
He's hungover, isn't he? Everybody else looks kind of normal, and then Phil's kind of looks like he's hiding behind shades.
Yeah, he's the only one with sunglasses on.
What are we doing here?
He looked like he was hiding behind shades, so I'm going to say he had a good time last night. And,
hey, how you doing?
He had a good time at the champions dinner.
Until afternoon, so. Right.
How you doing, Phil Mickelson? Nice to see you.
He's good. Yeah. He's good. So we'll keep you posted.
Doing good, Karen. Thanks.
We'll keep you posted at the top of the Masters leaderboard. Masters underway with its opening round today.
The Swafford Terriers are out in force.
Have we checked on that guy that ate nothing but pimento sandwiches? What's his?
Steve Politi.
Oh, yeah.
Is that his name?
NJ.com.
Yeah. He wrote a story that he ate nothing but pimento sandwiches for a day at the Masters this week.
How does bowels move after that?
He has not posted the update of that, but everybody gave him warnings that it'll.
You're going to have some bad runs.
It'll bottle you up for a while.
I mean, you're not, you get bound up by cheese, man. But you're eating like pimento cheese on white bread.
Said various.
You ain't going for days.
He had various beverages with said
thank God.
Pimento cheese, but he had pimento cheese
sandwiches.
He had
coffee? They had, like, do coffee chasers on that?
He had eight of them.
It's like an eruption in your mouth.
Eight of them as his entire meal all day.
Well, who's eating eight sandwiches in a day? That seems excessive.
Small. They're finger
foods. Are they like
regular size, you know,
regular size sandwiches, not like tea sandwiches?
Like those Hillshire Farms that are like cutting like two triangles?
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm thinking about like little tea sandwiches like with watercress and cucumber.
They use just regular Wonder Bread. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, so it's a full sandwich. Yeah. Who needs eight of those?
But it's just a spread, though. It's just like a...
It's not like a tall sandwich. It's just a...
Could you imagine like
Dagwood here?
Could you imagine like biting into like really thick just pimento cheese and leaving teeth marks in that? Like, that would just be disgusting. Good luck the next couple of days, Steve. Yeah. You're going to need
it,
man.
It must be maple syrup because butter don't drizzle like that.
That's right.
It doesn't.
Mm-mm. You better get some coffee in you, bro. I'm going to tell you what.
I mean, it's a smooth cheese, though, right?
Yeah, but still, it's going to bind you up, man.
I don't think smooth cheese is binding.
That guy's going to be walking around like Saturday on the ninth hole. All of a sudden, he's going to be running towards a porta potty going, oh, my God, it's coming out. So eight cheese sandwiches is a bit much for me.
Yeah, so that was. I thought it was a great way to write up the Masters. I read that more than I've read any of the previews.
Absolutely,
Masters. It's like I ate an entire day of pimento sandwiches.
I'd like to see what you did.
What was his name again?
Steve Politi.
Steve Politi.
Check in on Steve.
Oh Lord, that's a false alarm there. My gosh,
damn Steve,
God. I've actually spent more time reading the Masters food menu today than I have thing. You get a beer for $4, man.
An American craft beer for $5.
American craft for $5. Import for $5. An American light beer for $4.
You get two sandwiches and a beer for under $10.
Under $10. Yeah,
that's not even a week's worth of smoking.
No, right, it's not, man. Saying. I'd go with the egg salad.
I think the Masters Club to me.
Yeah.
You can't go wrong with the club, right?
Probably not.
You can't mess that up.
I haven't had a good egg salad in a long time.
But I would
time.
Do the pimento if I were there. I would do.
Pimento?
You got to win in Rome.
Yeah, you got to try it and then go, ugh, this is awful. Oh, you got to try the pimento cheese sandwich. Okay, do I?
What is the type of cheese they use in this pimento cheese?
Yeah, it's like, have you ever seen them make it? It's like made with mayonnaise and olives. Who wants that?
I mean, I like both of those things, not in excess, but
it just never sounded appealing.
Oh, here's a recipe for the Masters pimento cheese:
mayonnaise, Miracle Whip, and olives, and then like orange food coloring.
I don't know. It's one of those things you have to scroll through like a giant like article to get to.
It reminds me of the cheese that you get like during the holidays on that cheese ball that's rolled in almonds, you know, like, and they put that cheese ball out on a platter, it's orange inside, or that pub cheese. Like,
I had some pimento dip every once in a while. It's pretty good.
All right. Here we go.
All right.
Half a cup of cream cheese, room temperature.
Yeah, you got it. Just like so it spreads,
half a cup of mayo, half a cup of sour cream, some garlic salt, quarter teaspoon, give or take.
Don't want too much.
2 cups shredded sharp cheddar, half a cup shredded parm, half a cup diced pimentos. That's all.
Yeah.
Spread on a sandwich, serve for $17.50.
$3 at the Masters. Or $1.50, I think. $1.50. Yeah, $1.50.
What year is it in Augusta?
It's
Well, they do still live like it's the 50s, so.
So we'll check in on the leaderboard and Steve Bleedy throughout the rest of the show today.
Any update from Steve?
Oh. I'm sorry, I wasn't ready for that. Ask her again.
Any update from Steve?
Oh, Lord.
Oh, false alarm.
That's a false alarm. Man.
Man, gosh. I looked, Ryan. We've lost in the great sound purge of whatever it was.
The Al Roker pooped my pants.
Yeah, I'm trying to find that. It's not in here.
It's not in there.
You can find that on YouTube, though.
Yeah. No, we just have a drop called Gross Poop. That's
easy. Get that back in the system if we could.
How I label things is weird sometimes.
A weird freak out.
There could be a ticking poop bomb underneath your hole.
That's true.
That's right.
Did that ad ever make the
air?
I don't
think it did. No.
I don't think so. There's a weird freak out underway, and maybe a little bit of NFL slow news day or what have you, or they've talked so much about the up and coming quarterbacks that they had to check in on our guy.
Or somebody saw a happy Easter tweet and lost their mind.
Right. So, Patrick Mahomes has the Easter tweet out with his family and picture of him wearing the walking boot. He's coming off of surgery on that turf toe. So, of course, you're going to have some precautions, right? So he's in a walking boot, which kind of led to the freak out. One, people either weren't aware he was having surgery, or two, is this any kind of delay as to what's going on? No, it's exactly what they told you it was going to be. He's going to have surgery after the season. It's going to be a pretty good rehab process and be ready to go for training camp.
I mean, like, I saw the walking boot. I'm like, okay, on to the next. Happy Easter.
He wears a walking boot. Happy Easter. Yeah. That was good. I, if anything, I thought, well, he's paying attention to his rehab.
Yeah.
Could have very well taken off the walking boot, thrown it aside, and taken a nice Easter picture and just a fine pair of slacks.
Right. Just like toss the boot aside just like everybody does with their mask and then put it back on when the picture's over.
Had the boot in there following doctor's orders. That's good.
It's a well-placed boot.
Patrick's paying attention to what he should be doing.
That's right.
So now it's, well, what is he doing, and is he going to be okay? And then it's also now dovetailed into, well, what is he working on that he can't get out there and run around? Well, apparently he's got a key word, according to James Palmer, and it doesn't win you $1,000 in the national cash contest or anything, but he's got a key word, James Palmer of NFL Network says.
Well, there's a lot of mental work going on. Andrew mentioned the boot, and that's where most of his focus is right now. My understanding is the word is efficiency for this whole offseason. He wants to be more efficient as a quarterback, become more complete as a quarterback. He knows that he has a tendency to be very aggressive, loves to go downfield with the football, loves to try to push it vertically, but at the same time, he is studying, to my understanding, different ways to move the football downfield. There was a lot of coverages this past season. Obviously, teams playing them very deep. When he goes back and watches the film, there are underneath throws that are there. There are ways to stay on the field, keep moving the football, and be more efficient. The other part of that is evolving this offense. This offense this past year was very different than it was two seasons ago, and everybody's coming back, including the coaching staff, to where they're going to continue to evolve once again, because, Mike, we know that Todd Bowles went out there and he showed everybody a game plan against this offense. Now they're going to continue to evolve, but the offensive line, adjusting, that's a big part of it, but adjusting what they do offensively, a big part of this offseason.
So the bottom of his boot actually has the tread in it. It says efficiency. So every time he walks,
it makes an
efficiency mark. Yeah. He's also wearing the T-shirt in that Easter photo underneath that says efficiency on it.
That may be one of the dumbest reports I've ever heard. I mean, that is just looking for something.
Yes, very much so.
Right?
Very
that is like, so. We need something here. And I hate, as you said, slow news day, but that's a slow
out
news
for
day
ways
topic.
To complete passes.
Right.
Yeah, because everybody's doing that.
Oh, well, Patrick Mahomes is out here trying to learn how to complete the pass. Better be something to keep an eye on during OTAs.
Down the field.
I'm told by members of the Chiefs organization that Patrick Mahomes is looking to be efficient this year and trying to figure out different ways to move the ball down the field. Steve? Well, you can run it or throw it. Is there a third way that's coming in? Did I miss something? I mean, my God, it's just like James Palmer's really starting to get to me. I mean, like, he's not in that tier of, like, Schefter and more and guys like that. He's like in that second tier
Rappaport.
Rappaport's kind of up there in that first tier, but like James Palmer kind of in that second tier of like NFL insiders. And to me, that report was like him trying to weasel his way into that first tier. I'm being told by members of the organization that Patrick Mahomes is working on, wait for it, efficiency. What? The guy's been one of the most efficient quarterbacks since he entered the league. He's changed the game. He's revolutionized things. Wasn't efficiency like he was going to do different things the second year that he got into the league and take some higher completion percentage passes that he did? Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden now he's working to become more efficient because, you know, one game in the Super Bowl behind the JV offensive line has got people losing their minds that maybe Patrick Mahomes has lost it.
He's muttering the name Todd Bowles while walking around his house.
Todd Bowles. My football people told me Todd Bowles.
He's all twitchy.
Todd Bowles. Todd Bowles.
So if you want getting your playbook guy, I guess
he's like Rain Man talking about Wapner.
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes is in his playbook.
Todd Bowles.
Just definitely Todd looking at efficiency.
Todd Bowles. Maybe inefficient.
I like it was just a weird check-in on Mahomes.
It really was. It was like, all right, he posted an Easter picture, and he's got the boot on. How can we create something here? That's exactly what that was.
Well, from what he's hearing, he's working on being more efficient.
More efficient. Let me ask you this.
I just want to dumb this down here. From what I'm hearing here is that he's working on being better at his job.
Right.
Okay, cool.
Where is this taking place? Because as far as I know, OTAs and stuff, that doesn't start till like April 19th.
That's taking place on the backfields of Bishop Miege.
Gotcha. Okay.
Well, no, because he's got a boot on.
So where is he working on this efficiency? Is he just sitting around watching tape, eating some pimento cheese? Or him and Politi are sitting there splitting Sandoz?
It's a good possibility.
It's just like stuff like that just like makes me scratch my head and go, okay, now I understand why people have an issue with the media. I'm being told that Patrick Mahomes is trying to become more efficient at his game.
He's working on putting his left foot in front of his right when he walks.
Yeah.
This is what happens when you have a dedicated 24-hour network to your sport.
I guess.
And there's nothing going on.
Maybe true.
Hey, Patrick Mahomes posted a picture. He's got a boot on. Somebody get to the bottom of this. He had surgery after the Super Bowl. He hurt the game. We knew this was going to be happening. And the walking boot to me is never that big of an issue because, Josh, you and I have lived through covering KU for all those years with every game, it seemed like somebody was in a walking boot, and that dude would play
for a hangnail or for just an injured ankle. Or
we're going to boot him up. He's got like a toe, whatever. And we'll see him on Sunday.
Pretty standard piece of equipment that turns out to be not that big a deal most times. But also, that's exactly what they told you, right? Surgery, pretty intensive rehab,
right?
He'll be ready to go by training camp. Okay,
right.
Great.
It's April.
Yeah. Yeah, it's April.
I'm just making sure we're all on the same calendar here. We still do that in, you know, Roman calendar or whatever we did.
Whatever we did.
What?
Isn't it the Mayan calendar? The Roman calendar? I don't know. Some calendar that's been around
like
for a
one
while.
The one we're currently working on.
Yeah, the one we're using right now.
I don't know what they call that, actually, though. I think about it.
Oh, my goodness. Speaking of quarterbacks, we have the ever-evolving Russell Wilson.
The Gregorian calendar.
There it is.
Vahe came up with this?
That's right, Vahe.
Yep, the Vahe calendar. Russell Wilson, is he going to be a Seahawk? Is he not? Carlos Dunlap the other day said he re-signed with Seattle because he conferred with Russell Wilson, who told him he was going to be his quarterback.
I did ask him if obviously he was going to be with us, because if I'm coming back, I'm coming back because I see him as my quarterback and the rest of the team. I want to pick up where we left off. And he told me that he's with us and he's here to stay. And he said, you know, let's go Hawks. And I'm not going to quote his every word, or these words are not his words verbatim, but these are my explanation of how I interpreted what he said.
That was great. He said, let's go Hawks. Let's go Hawks. I guess he's back.
How long did Dunlap sign for?
I think it was only a couple of years. I mean, wasn't it? Wasn't all that long.
He got an out after next year?
Wasn't all that long.
Warren Moon said he was done.
Warren Moon was appearing somewhere. Yeah, the headlines yesterday were reading.
A two-year deal for Dunlap.
Okay.
That Warren Moon thinks it's headed towards a divorce, that this is headed the way of Richard Sherman and others that have had their outs with Seattle, and there's no way this can happen. Brandon Marshall, though, on Fox Sports thinks he's got the scoop.
This conversation is over. Russell Wilson is going to be a Seattle Seahawk for a very long time. Now, we can't predict the future. We don't know if, you know, you got so many things that can come into play down the road. We know that. But right now, Pete Carroll sat down and said, you know what? The philosophy difference, the difference in philosophy that we had, let's get on the same page. I need to give my Hall of Fame quarterback everything he needs to be successful and lead this team. They're on the same page. I would say their relationship is probably better now than it's ever been. So sometimes you got to go through this. You talk about marriage, you talk like, you know, even the great Warren Moon, opining. Love it. He's giving his opinion on it. You know, talking about marriage and it's rocky right now and it's going to end rough next year. No, it's not. They're on the same page right now. And Russell Wilson, Nick, he wants to be a Seattle Seahawk for a very long time. He really loves Kobe Bryant's story. He really loves Derek Jeter's story, where we're talking about somebody stayed in one organization for 20 years. The problem is those guys won. He has won, but that was a very long time again. Russell Wilson is not thinking about Super Bowl II. He's thinking about Super Bowl III, Super Bowl IV. He's literally thinking that. I played with the guy. So right now, I am reporting this because Russell's not talking. Pete Carroll's not talking. And every day we're going to come up and, well, what's going on with Russell Wilson? Who's calling now? It is over, Nick. He will be there for a very long time.
So Brandon Marshall says it's over. The two can get along. It's fine. He's staying in Seattle.
There you go.
All right.
That's some breaking news, as we were talking about earlier here on 610 Sports
breaking
Radio.
News. Yep. Oh, we have breaking news right now?
Mm-hmm.
Powered by Odyssey Sports and presented by BetQL. Become a better sports better. Get smarter to beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today.
Just got a text from a friend of mine who's been to Augusta, and it says 8 sandwiches is not a lot. They're very tiny. The bread is thin.
That's what I assumed.
8 sandwiches is about normal for people at Augusta.
That's a normal consumption
level?
Yeah,
he was saying it's not quite that like thick Pepperidge Farm bread, but it's like smaller Pepperidge Farm bread.
To eat for an entire day?
Eight's not that big a deal. But if you tell people you had 8 sandwiches, it sounds like you're at the trough,
it's like eating like a pack of those like mini donuts. You had 6 donuts in there.
Right.
That's not really 6 donuts.
No, it's like maybe 1.5, 2 at the most.
I don't know, if you ate a sandwich every 3 hours for an entire day, I'd feel like that you've eaten enough.
Oh, Lord.
I still think 8 sounds like a lot, but I trust my guy, very good golfer.
What if I
been
said
to
I
Augusta?
Had, what if I said
not
I
going to give his name out on the air.
What if I said I had 3 Big Macs today?
I'd be like, oh, my God.
Right, but what if I had one at breakfast, one at lunch, and one at dinner?
Yeah,
I
mean, had 3.
You space them out.
It's a little bit
still
different.
Like 4,000 calories.
It's still 3 Big Macs. I still think eating 8 pimento sandwiches sounds like a lot.
I mean, during Chiefs season, I'd pound 2 for lunch on a Monday.
Yeah, because you get the sacks, Big Macs for sacks. But I mean, maybe
the calories are free.
You know, you're
at
Augusta, though. You're outside. You know, being outside makes you hungrier. You're walking the course, you know, a little bit.
Oh, yeah, we didn't factor in walking.
Factor in the exercise. You look at your steps at the end of the day. You hit 20,000, 8 pimento cheese sandwiches. Maybe that's normal for the course. I don't know.
Hello.
Still sounds like a lot to me.
Jeez.
Getting second information that 8 is not a lot. 8 is enough.
The
damn it, he beat me to it.
The Royals face the White Sox tonight. White Sox are 3-4 this afternoon, I should say. The White Sox are 3-4. Gave up a 7-run 6th to Seattle yesterday in an 8-4 loss. So they dropped below 500.
Did they have a funeral for Tim Anderson this week, or was that just last week?
Jimenez.
But Anderson went on the DL.
Tim Anderson died too?
Did they have a funeral for him?
I don't think that was
talked to some people that were in Anaheim for that game.
I got 2 fingers in the sky for you, Timmy.
Because that's where they did it in Anaheim for their open. I talked to some people that were out there, like some just random people. Like, that was bizarre. Like, the guy's not dead. So that's what I'm asking. Tim Anderson goes on the DL. Was there a funeral for him?
I don't know. Yeah. So a 7-run frame, Tony La Russa says it's on him.
Well, we were in a excellent position going to the sixth inning. And I think the best way to explain the sixth inning, I mean, I did a really lousy job of managing that inning. And it really hurt our chances to win.
Can you expand on that, Tony?
I'd rather not. You watch the game. I did a lousy job.
He couldn't expand on it because he probably didn't remember that far back.
Like, I don't know. Sucked. Give him seven.
Wow, right, we got Tony La Russa out here just blowing leads every chance he gets. Two White Sox have died this year.
Yeah. Good Lord.
It's not going well on the south side.
No, not so far. Not sitting at 3-4.
This is what I came up with for funeral music, by the way.
It's time to capitalize. It's time to go into Chicago today. Let Brad Keller be stellar and go out there. They always say, Josh, keep a losing team losing, right?
It's a losing team.
The White Sox are a losing team right now. We've got to keep the White Sox losing. Go into Chicago, take care of business, knock them off. Brad Keller bounces back today. Royals get that win. And
get you an Italian beef call today.
Yeah, when we kind of talked about it earlier with
the eight of them. That's not too many.
Eight of them. Maybe eight Italian beef is a lot. But
that's too many Italian. Three might.
Three's your limit.
That's then you're getting a little out of hand.
Tell you what, throwing a deep dish and three Italian beefs, I've had a day. But I think with where we are right now, we saw why yesterday was that quote-unquote bullpen game for the Royals. They're putting a lot of emphasis on this game today against the White Sox and in the series against the White Sox. At least that's my perception of it, because you push Keller back to give him your best pitcher the opportunity to open this series in Chicago. I think it tells you that the Royals internally understand if we're going to be a playoff team and we're going to compete for the postseason, we can't go 1-9 like we did last year against the Chicago White Sox. We have to be able to go toe-for-toe with these guys and find a way to get some wins. And Brad Keller gives us the best opportunity to do that today as the White Sox open their home series and the Royals open that series in Chicago facing Lance Lynn, who's really good, obviously. But you go toe-for-toe, ace-v-ace maybe if you want to in this one, and see what happens. I like the thinking of the Royals. They are letting us know early on that this is a big series. We talked about starting fast, right? This is the Royals telling everybody, without telling everybody, it's a big series against the White Sox.
We'll hear from Mike Matheny and Brad Keller coming up in our next segment. There is a chance of rain this afternoon in Chicago as well. 3:10 first pitch here on 610 Sports Radio. I saw some tweets from the weather people. You know, bring the rain jacket with you if you head to the ballpark, one of those deals today. So it'll probably clear off because it's opening day for them. Lance Lynn.
Supposed to rain all weekend up there.
Brad Keller, 2:00. For Vern's On Deck show here on 610 Sports Radio, Royals and White Sox this afternoon. To cap this half hour, Hudson Swafford still top the leaderboard at the Masters.
All right.
So get on the Hudson Swafford. We're all on board with Hudson Swafford.
Terrier. Maybe go
wire to wire. 21-year-old. Oh, no. He's only a 25-year-old now. Siwoo Kim.
It's only 25 years old.
Is it minus two? No, this is Siwoo Kim, who's also at minus two. He's joined him at top leaderboard. He's only through three holes, though. He can't keep up the Swafford.
No, he can't keep up that pace.
The Swafford pace.
There's no way.
So Hudson Swafford remains the leader.
How do you know?
At Augusta.
Hello, friends. Off the NCAA tournament, the Swafford Terriers lead Augusta.
Do the...
That's good. Let's check in on our friend Steve.
Oh, Lord.
Pimento
that
Steve.
That's a false alarm, Mayor.
It was not.
Get him on the show tomorrow, would you please?
No, Pimento Steve?
Yes!
I think we have all we need from Pimento Steve.
I think we're...
Gosh.
Do the Nance, Barkley, all those commercials continue on into the Masters end?
I would love if Charles showed up at the Masters. Yeah. Would that not be good?
We should get Sir Charles on tomorrow, see if he's going to be at the Masters.
Yeah, we should get him in the cabin. What's that, Butler cabin with Jim Nance and all the guys, you know, looking for the Masters after the Final Four. I think it would be hysterical. Capital One missed the boat here on this one.
It's in the chair watching the Masters.
Yeah.
With the other guys, as Bob calls them.
Yeah.
You know, Samuel Jackson.
Samuel Jackson, Spike Lee.
Yeah. You know. Charles is my guy. I love Charles Barkley.
That's terrible.
Staff Hour brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967. A big test ahead today for the Royals that they want to take that Vern step forward in 2021. We'll discuss next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.